Hey everyone, this is Yannick Silver, and I am really excited to have one of my buddies, Ed O'Keefe, on the line here, one of our newest Maverick 1000 members. And we're going to be talking about, obviously, our philosophy of make more, have more fun, and give more. And Ed's going to come at it from his own unique position. Ed lives in Chicago, father of four. I've known Ed for, I don't know how many years now, on and off in this crazy marketing world. And Ed has a great startup story. Hopefully we'll get him to share some of that, from going from a bartender to being one of the top dental practice gurus, I guess, experts in the country. built that for several years. Has now sold a stake in that business, and has been just involved in all sorts of online and offline things, and actually attended his first Maverick experience with us at Covert Ops, so he got to go shoot some guns and drive cars and go rescue some hostages. So welcome, Ed.
Hey, Yannick. Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. Hi to everybody. This is exciting for me. Glad to be here. And you know, been a huge fan of yours, even though we're friends. Just got to tell you, I mean, you've always been a someone I've looked up to, and glad to be a part of the group now.
Well, thanks. The looking up to is that an inside joke? That you're
like
6'2",
right?
And I'm 5'8".
Yeah, right. How funny.
Hey, so let's fill in a couple blanks here on your just some of your background of how you got started and what you're mainly, obviously, you've been known for is the dental profit side.
Sure.
It's like 5,000 some dentists that you work with.
Yeah, I mean we've over the past 9.5 years. I mean, I'll give the quick 30-second how I got to there, because I think it's important, especially for guys who are either just starting out or they're getting some traction in their internet business or marketing business, and kind of give you a little background on where I was at. I got my nursing degree in my bachelor's in nursing coming out of college. Played volleyball in college. And I knew junior year, I mean, I got that that entrepreneurial bug. I was like, there's no way I'm going into nursing. And so, my first thing was, I thought I was going to be a motivational speaker. And that sucked, because I didn't know how to market my business. And then the second thing was, I stumbled across, like, Corey Rudel's, I think his first ever DVD that was out there, and then the e-book at the time on how to make money online. And that's kind of like when the epiphany hit me that, you know, I didn't have to be running around trying to speak to people, that I could actually make money online. And so what I did was, I took what I was speaking about and my background in, like, hypnosis, neurolinguistic programming, and combined it with what I was doing was coaching volleyball. And I started my first internet website called volleyballsecrets.com. Did that for about 2 years and actually started making a little bit of money. And then I realized that at that time, there were a bunch of guys making money teaching professionals and business owners how to make money through their dental or through their practices or businesses, and namely like Jeff Paul, Ben Altadonna, those guys were doing it back then. And so I immediately decided to jump into the game of licensing. I licensed Jeff Paul's 101 Ways to Get Customers product, and then I went into the dental market. Just for full-blown honesty, I didn't know anything about what I was doing other than I knew the three basics of marketing of, you know, grow your business with, get more customers, sell them more stuff. And then I just dove into the dental market. I didn't know anything about dentistry, and ran a couple ads, and they produced a pulse, and then just kind of kept going forward from there. So that was about 9.5 years ago when I started running the first ad in dentistry.
Okay, and, well, I'm not going to let you off the hook that easily. So I think there's a couple key things in there that I think are really cool. One is, you went out and applied some of the stuff to what you knew about, which was volleyball at the time.
Yeah.
That, hey, let me just, you know, I always tell people a lot, it's about the process, not the profits, when you get started.
Totally.
And, for you, it's kind of figuring some of the stuff out, getting something up on your own, and seeing what worked. And then, you know, what's really interesting is you took a big shortcut, and I don't know if we've had too many people talk about this yet in any of our interview series. Has been this this licensing opportunity where you license material from someone else who was already successful in one industry, so that you could have a shortcut in another one. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I didn't even know what licensing was at the time, and I still really don't, other than it's an opportunity to use somebody's other either intellectual property or their customer base or their product and leapfrog into that market with it. And I'll tell everybody right now, I mean, even to this day, I'm still, like, and when you hang out with, like, all the Maverick guys or guys Yannick has at his events and stuff like that, you'll notice a pattern, I would say, amongst all of them, but I'll just share my philosophy, which is we're all busy. We all have a ton of things going on. I got four kids, and I like to spend a ton of time with them. So my philosophy is very, very simple. It's either, A, I look for strategic relationships and partners that have something that I don't, and if we can synergistically work together, that's great. If that doesn't work, my first step is I look for a model in the marketplace, and it doesn't have to be the same place. And then my philosophy on finding a model is pretty simple, but I've really never heard anyone talk about it in this way, is that I'll study like a handful of guys doing something I want to learn how to do. I'll identify one or two whom I think are the real deal, and then I shut everybody else out. And what I look for when I look for these shortcuts is I look for a model that has similar value systems that I do, and then what I try and do is map out their values and their beliefs and then their strategy. And what I mean by values is, like, what's important to them. And so one of the first things I'll ask people is, you know, like, well, on a daily basis, monthly basis, weekly basis, what are the things you're thinking about? Because that's what's important to them. And then I'll map out their process. And then I think where a lot of guys screw up, Yannick, is they'll hear you say something, like, as a guy teaching them, like, hey, go run this, test this ad on, or run this, you know, pay-per-click campaign on Google, rotate two different landing pages, and then send them to this offer. And then they hear someone else's philosophy, and then they try and meld, like, a third-party philosophy. Mm-hmm. And so when you're just starting out, I try and get as clear as possible as to the steps, and since I'm a little ADD on things, I need those steps or else I'll never get anything done. And then, so that's the shortcut principle there. And then licensing, I mean, if you're going to go to a new market, you can license. In the nutritional market, it's private labeling, which most people don't know about, but you can have almost any product in the world and just stick a label on it and it's yours for almost the same price as if you, you know, built, or actually a lot cheaper than if you built your own. So I rambled a little bit there, but, I mean, I'm always looking for shortcuts.
And not shortcuts as far as short-circuiting the system and not trying to rip people off by having the shortcut, but it's a shortcut to creating immense value. And so, for instance, the licensing aspect, and we've licensed some of our intellectual property, and the way it works is I kind of stumbled on it way back before I really knew what I was doing. But one of my first products was to cosmetic surgeons, and so yeah. I had the product on, and, you know, it's doing pretty well, especially for being how old I was at the time. And just talking to someone locally in my area, he was a chiropractor, and kind of saw what I was doing, and he's like, well, you know, why don't you just give me your course, I'll fix it up, and I'll sell it to another marketplace. And I licensed it to him to go out to veterinarians, and it worked for a little while. He just didn't put in the time and effort, really, and it didn't really blow up, but it obviously saved him a massive amount of time and effort to create it himself and just to go out there and go put it out in the marketplace and see what happens. And like you said, you ran some ads, got a pulse, and away you went. The other thing that's interesting is, so in the dental marketplace, and maybe you can give us your overall philosophy on this. There's obviously more than, you know, one or two people who are out there selling how to improve your dental practice.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, to give you a little historical perspective, and you know, I don't want everybody to jump into the dental space just because they heard that, you know, we're doing really well in it.
Right.
For a couple reasons, and I'm being very transparent here. One is when you go back to, like, when Ben Altadonna was in chiropractic, or, like, Jeff Paul were in, you know, the teaching financial planners, that goes about 12 years back. it cost them around $2 per lead to get a customer, to get a lead. You know, and they were converting because they were the only people in the space. They were converting at like, you know, 10 to 20%. I mean, so the game has—it's not even the same world, okay? But the point I think Yannick, you know, that you're trying to go for there, and I think it's right on, which is, you know, the fact that there were a ton of competitors in dentistry when I went into it, we saw as a good sign because it was, we knew that it was a market that would spend money.
Right.
And that's really, that's a writer downer. I mean, you know, when I went into the volleyball market, I was trying to sell to volleyball coaches where if you do like the data research on that, there's only like 3,200 registered certified coaches in the whole nation, where knowing what I know now, I would have gone after the parents who get wrangled into coaching and teach them like youth volleyball drills. And I probably would have never left the market. I probably would have just duplicated myself in all the coaching markets, knowing what I know now. But you got to know where the money's at. And competition's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing because the world is just so big, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's one of the things I think people get scared off of is they see competition and don't go into it. But at the same time, you can't show up in a marketplace that's crowded, which most marketplaces are right now, and have the same
yeah.
old same old story. You can't show up and be like, okay, well, I'm going to show you how to grow your dental practice. Let's go.
Yeah, totally.
50 other people out there who are consultants and marketers and experts who are out there, you know, singing that same dance there. What's your thought on differentiation and how you would go into a marketplace and maybe you may
yeah,
see you as, a,
great.
As an obvious choice?
Well, I'll just share something I'm doing right now, and it requires a little bit of work. And if you're afraid to work in the beginning, like in Leonic said something great earlier about, like, you know, it had a pulse, but he wasn't willing to put time and effort into it. There's no guys that got to this level or even much higher than I'm at. God, by, you know, hoping they could just click a few buttons in life, you know, just pour money on their doorstep. So good question. So I've been in the dental market for, you know, 9.5 years. And so the challenge when you're in a market for that long is how do you come up with new stuff? Like when I went into dentistry, direct response marketing and two-step marketing was like an epiphany. Like, holy crap, you mean you can educate people before they get to your office. Now there's like 400 people in there who all came from certain circles who are all teaching exactly what I was teaching 9 years ago, and then now there's even more things because of all the social media and stuff like that. But what I did recently, one of my new passions is just natural search engine optimization, like how to get ranked fast, and I'm testing some things in some really competitive markets that are outside of dentistry. And so I decided to do some work with my dental practices and, you know, apply it where you're at, which goes back to the volleyball point as well. But what I've done, I haven't done this in a while, Yannick, is I'm actually doing, I'm not doing consult calls because I'm not suggesting not do that. I think in the beginning, if you can, the closer you can get to understanding the psychology of your customer, the better. But what I am doing are audits, and I'm not going to explain the whole process, but I'm doing audits of their entire web strategy. And what I've identified in literally just a few hours of doing it, and I'm doing it just Camtasia in my own computer and walking through this series of research tools, what I've identified is probably about 4 new products that nobody's really selling in the dental space that all my doctors will need. And, you know, I'll be the first one bringing it to them, and since I have that relationship, the conversion rate should be much higher, and the trust factor is there. So what I believe is either A, there's a couple of things. A, you either need to be the guy who's being the hero in a market if you're doing like guru marketing, and you got to tell them why everything else, everyone else has been lying to them. Or B, you need to be, you take a different route, which is you become friends with all the top people and you bring something that's a little bit different that people will, it's a natural progression. And I'll give one little tip. Like iPad marketing, like I don't know anybody really making a lot of money on iPhone marketing, iPad stuff. So I'll probably
right.
get some emails from guys going, oh, I am. I'll show you. Well, but I do have an iPad.
Creating apps for them?
Yeah, I do have an iPad. And I do know that if you look at, like, I always tell people this. I go, hey, look at download the app 60 minutes. It's like $10, so if you don't have $10, then you'll be left out. But the whole point was I go, oh my God, that is the future of iPad of marketing.
It's called 60 minutes.
Yeah, the 60 minutes. It's a TV show.
Okay.
And just download it. And what I'm just trying to point out is the use of video content and how nice it is, and that in 4 to 5 years, you know, that's where it's going to be, or it might be, or something else might happen. But I like being future thinking because it keeps me excited. But the bigger point of all that rambling is this: the closer you can get to your customer early on, especially when you're starting a new business and your prospects. I remember Gary Halbert saying this, and I dreaded the idea of actually getting on the phone with customers and prospects, because most people who start internet businesses just want to sit behind their computer. The more data you can gather and the more you can communicate early on to really have a strong sense of what their biggest problems are, pains are, and what they need, that's where you can get a lot of your unique competitive advantage and unique difference when entering a market space.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it comes back to doing some of the work that most people aren't mm-hmm. willing to do, again.
Yeah. And just fall on your face. Who cares?
Yeah. Something that you mentioned there is the two paths, which are, you know, sort of the guru personality driven, you being the hero, the person that brings them something that they're not, that the message that they don't know, or you know, rally against a common enemy. That's a good path. The second path I think is really interesting, which was you said become friends, or simply build relationships with the top guys and gals and offer them something that's either complimentary or something that's next in line for what they're doing. And that, you know, that falls in line again with you know, the shortcuts and creating. And I like this a lot. I always talk about piggybacking. I talk about, mm-hmm. you know, other people talk about host beneficiary relationships and joint ventures and so forth. But, you know, to me, this makes a lot of sense. And it's one of those things where I like to think about who's got my customer beforehand. And, you know, is there a way to, you know, to do something that makes sense, that would be a benefit for both parties? And it's one of those that are pretty... It's a pretty good way of getting started and at least getting out there if you can build that relationship. Any keys on making those joint venture relationships or creating those high-level deals to make that happen?
Well, first of all, I think you're a master at this. So, you know, I feel like you could run a whole course on this, because this is kind of one of your unique abilities. Well, I'll tell you one thing. When I entered dentistry, one of the things I did is I sent, I think, 12 different high-level players, I want to say a $100 bill with a lift letter and a sales letter. And one took me up on it, and I think we had like 120 sales in the next month, you know, and we became great, great strategic relationship, good friends.
And 120 sales equals how much?
Well, I mean, at the time, it was like $1,000 to $1,500.
So you sent out $1,000 in $100 bills, and you got back 150.
Yeah, we got like 150 orders plus instant in a market like that, where there's only so many thousand people, like, you know, that's instant awareness of who the hell is this guy. I mean, that
right.
was it.
Right.
There's probably some things I would have done differently, but. You know, I probably would have had my customer service was not already yet. I mean, but you know, hey, that's part of the deal.
Yeah, exactly. You learn and you grow and you get better. So, but most people might not. And you know, it's funny. So, you know, listening to you talk about that, you're like, well, we would have done this differently and so forth. But you know, the biggest thing is getting out there and doing it, even if it's 85% correct.
Yeah, and I was a little more, you know, I was only 27 at the time, so I mean, I'm in this profession where the average guy who graduates from dental school, I think, like 30-something years old, so,
right.
And they don't even know that they need help until they're like 40, and then they're, you know, our best customers are in their 50s, you know.
That's interesting.
That is, you know. So here, so I had to come out with a guns a blazing attitude, and I did a good job with it. I think when you come too hardcore at everybody else is like sucks and I'm the hero, the problem is you can alienate the maybe the other strategy, which is, you know, I had a guy who's well known, and I'll just keep his name between sure. But he's everybody on the call would know him. You know him very well. And he was looking to offer a product to the dental profession, and you know it was related. It wasn't direct competitive. But what he did that I thought was top shelf is he sent me a letter, he called me, and then to set up a phone call, and then he sent me a text, which was something to this effect, which is like, hey, bro, I want to let you know, actually, it might have been after we even spoke, that my intention is to sell this product in a very respectful way that benefits both of us. And if I can't see that happening, I'll drop the whole thing. So any insight and support on making that work for me, or for the both of us, so we both make more money, would I'd appreciate it. And you know, and then he did some favors in return. He led with value, and then he was very respectful about honoring my position. Space in it, which he didn't have to do. I mean, there's no rules saying where there's guys, and let me just tell the opposite of that. You know, the opposite of is that you can go into a market and JV with everybody and then not share any of your customers or leads or reciprocate at all. And you can do that, and you might as well milk that cow while it's still alive, because once you shot it, you're on an island all by yourself, you know. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I've seen both ends of it.
Well, you know, I think that might come from short-term versus long-term thinking.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, realizing, okay, I can make a quick profit hit here without really looking into the future of, you know, do I want to be in this for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? You know, are these relationships going to be worth more to me in the long run than just, you know, trying to milk them in the short term?
Yeah, and here's one other thing, too. This is really important, too, Yannick, now you just brought this up, which is, you know, I mean, there's some businesses that you can have the philosophy of growing deep roots, means the tree grows bigger or whatever the hell it is. It's like some power, but it's like, you know, the deeper the roots, the taller the tree. And then there's just some markets, and what you're selling is a very transactional type market.
Absolutely.
Because of the psychology of that buyer is just short-term thought. So, I'm testing a lot of these different markets, and I'm experiencing from as an owner. And you know, I know your philosophy is, you know, make money, have fun, give back. And when you talk about the have fun thing, is you know, I'm looking at my passion level, and I'm kind of like seeing it on a scale of 0 to 10. In the beginning, going into markets that have those short-term customer life cycles, but they're potentially extremely profitable, it was like, you know, 9 or 10 because I was going to a really competitive marketplace, and I'm seeing it just dwindle down because it's just transactional focus. It kind of sucks, you know, where, you know, I mean, I'm from a big family, 13 kids in the family, and that's, you know, whatever. I like to create value, and to see more customers coming back is even greater, you know.
So that's interesting. So, you know, you've been playing around with a lot of different marketplaces and talking about this scale of, you know, 0 to 10, or about how excited and passionate you are, which makes it more fun to be in business. How important, I mean, everyone's heard, you know, find your passion, the profits will follow, or, you know, something to that effect. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, good, you know, I was watching a video of a guy who was sharing, hey, you can go get these best-selling products, do this market research and sell the product, and as an affiliate make money and sell more crap.
Right.
And I really thought this. I go, you know, that's actually not a bad motto to live your life, is identify what people love. Like, go to Consumer Reports, take all the best products that people freaking love, and be an avenue and a gateway to those things. And you know, for me, you know, let's just say we identify, well, first of all, at the end of the day, if you're passionate about something that people just simply don't want to buy, then you need a wake-up call, and you need to go find something different to sell, Okay.
Yeah, channel that passion in some different twist around that.
Yeah, I mean, get passionate about the market. I mean, you know, like, I'm passionate about I love learning new things. And I'm learning some cool stuff right now that has me up early and keeps me up late after I put the kids to bed. I'll flip open my computer and I'll study one of the guys I'm modeling, and then first thing the next morning I'll go do a few things that he does. So it's really interesting you say that, because you mentioned something really important earlier in the call, which is it's about the process, not about the profits early on.
Right.
And so what I would say is that if you can get passionate about building a profitable process, you can then apply that to anything you do, okay? If you can get passionate about building a profitable process, then you can apply it wherever you want to go.
Yeah, so if you can get, so for example, would that be like, if you can get passionate about, or are you saying get passionate about the marketing, or that you can then apply that?
Absolutely.
So like, okay, I get really excited about building a, whatever, a landing page that converts like crazy and goes into a funnel that I know.
Yeah, and this is one of the things, like, I've taught, and I know you have too, I've taught a ton of guys, I've told them, like, here's my whole flipping process for this new thing I'm doing. And then they do a little work and they just never do anything with it. But right. I'll tell you, let me go back to, like, my story of when I was struggling. I heard Jeff Paul say on one of his copywriting audio tapes, which you might have been in the crowd at the time, but I just got on tape. He had said the first frickin' sentence out of his mouth was, your income is directly related to your ability to write copy. And so that day, folks, I got passionate about writing copy. And I can tell you that my income went up at the ability of my, you know, it took me a while. I woke up every morning around 6 or 7 a.m., went to the coffee shop, and this is when I was single. And I would, because they said, you know, hey, the only way to, you know, the fastest way to get it into your body, writing copy, is to handwrite it out. Now, I don't know if I totally agree with that now, but back then, that's what I did. I'd handwrite John Carlton, Gary Halbert, Dan Kennedy's sales letters, and I never bought the Ultimate Sales Letter. What was your website?
Instant Sales Letters.
Yeah, I just should have bought that, but this is before then.
Well, that's a little bit. I don't think it would give you world-class copywriting skills like that. But let me just
point up this point. So that's what I did then, and so today, now, I still have that same philosophy about something. And so there's certain things that I'm learning right now that I'm passionate about, that I wake up and I go to bed, that also follows the Napoleon Hill's principle of specialized knowledge, that if you master that thing, you will be in a class, you know, that nobody else is. And so if you can start stacking those puzzle pieces side by side and build that process and learn that whole thing, oh my God, you know, in a matter of a couple of years or even much sooner for some people who are on this, you know, I mean, just some couple small tweaks, find a model, just do what they say verbatim and get crazy insane about it, you know.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, you can tell the, you know, it's almost been a recurring theme. It's just going the extra mile in a way. It's about, you know, getting up early, staying up late, and many times to learn those skills that we know are going to be multiplier skills. Copywriting is a massive multiplier skill.
Massive.
It lets us, you know, write something, we're now on our computers, and put it out on the web and have literally thousands, tens of thousands, and millions of people see that, and we can leverage that. And that's, you know, the ability to leverage is massive right now, and that's one of those skills that's a core skill for sure. All right, do you want to move into, let's talk about maybe entrepreneurial lifestyle and having a little bit more fun here. So you got four kids, family of 13.
Yeah, four kids,
that you came from.
Yeah, big family, four kids. I built a, I have an office above my second garage. We have two garages. And you know, I'm sitting in it right now. Love it. Kids come up here and watch TV while I work sometimes. We're
What's
four houses.
Ages? Age range?
Oh, ages, yeah, this is great. 6'4", almost 3". And then we are expecting the next one in about however many months. It's still, we're still in the first, we're just wrapping up the first trimester, so.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man, thanks.
Populating the world with more O'Keefe's.
Yeah, you know, raising confident kids who want to take on the world. That's the kind of all right, so lifestyle is a couple things. One is this, and I want to share this because a lot of guys, and this kind of goes still in the making money part, but we could shift into.
I think they're all totally interrelated.
They're totally related, right? I posted on my Facebook account the other day, I said, there is something about being this talk about, oh, everyone wants to be so balanced. The reality is that if you want to be phenomenal at anything at any given time, there are phases in which you have to be extraordinarily unbalanced. Okay?
Ooh.
Now, what I'm saying is that I don't sacrifice my family life for that. But what I'm saying is that me kind of physically and kind of like where I go, if I'm studying till 1 a.m. or midnight because I'm trying to crack the code on something, I have moved over to where work spikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it gets you to a certain level because you figured the thing out, and then you flow right back into the natural, you know, life of whatever. Now, here's a couple of thoughts I have. One is there is no perfect formula for living like a balanced entrepreneurial life. Only you can figure that out for yourself. And my personal belief is that I have to make money. If I'm not making money, then family life sucks, and or could suffer dramatically. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And well, I have to.
That becomes the overriding nagging problem that surrounds everything. Then.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of guys talk about, well, you need to spend time with your family. I spend a shitload of time with my family. I mean, walk them to school. I take them whatever, and we go play games, and then. When it's time to turn off the cell phone, you turn off the cell phone. When you want to go extended times, you go do that. I don't know if I'm articulating everything as well as I'd like to, but I would say, you know, A, you got to focus on what's going to generate the cash flow so that you can relax and build the entrepreneurial lifestyle, okay? B, you got to sit and go, hey, what are the three or four things that are most important to me in my life? And you go, well, it's my family, my physical health, my relationships, my whatever they might be for you, they can be for you. And then you really want to take a magic wand and imagine what your life would be like. You're making the money you want, you have the people around you that you want, and you're dealing with the people that you want to deal with. And I'll tell everybody on this, one little thing you can do to improve your entrepreneurial lifestyle instantly. I wrote this little book called Prosperity Was Never Meant to Be a Struggle. It's like 20 pages long because it covers two simple principles. One is this, is that stop doing things that you're doing out of obligation to others, and stop doing things that you feel you're doing because other people want you to do it.
Mm.
And if you take those two things and stop seeking the approval of others, and you take those two simple things and filter your whole life right now, and anything that falls in those filters, either immediately eliminate it or have a plan to get them out of your life, and your excitement of life will just bump up like three levels.
Say those two one more time, Ed.
Well, you stop doing things out of obligation.
Yep.
Just eliminate it. Anything you're doing out of obligation or guilt is only going to bring you down a path of more frustration and negative anchors. And the second one is, I wrote this, I mean, look back on it, it's something like, stop seeking the approval or confirmation or acceptance, yes, that's of others.
And that's a huge one, and I'll jump off of that for 1 second, because
please
that
do.
Was like one of the biggest decisions of my life that sent me down a serious, much more serious entrepreneurial path, and it was a very hard decision. This is, I grew up working in my dad's business, medical equipment, and literally started when I was 14 years old and left that business when I was 25, I think, and they're 26. And, you know, the easy decision would have been, and the decision that I know he would want me to, at the time anyway, to do would be stay in that business, grow that business, and take it over. And, you know, to to do that, of course, would have, you know, would have got his approval and would have lived the life that essentially he wanted. But and that was one of the hardest things to do, was to decide, hey, I'm going to go off on my own and build up my own thing.
And that's huge.
Yeah. And very, very happy I did it, but it was an incredibly difficult decision, or seemed like it at the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah. And you know, the other thing is, too, is like, as you now, like now being married and having four kids, the obligations, like quote-unquote, or things that you're looking for acceptance, they evolve into different things from different people and from other, you know, like, so, you know, I'm obligated right now. I have to make X amount of dollar on a monthly basis to support my kids, right? That's
right.
Just like a necessity. It's the whole Maslow's thing. And so those are things that, you know, that's why it goes back to my whole thing about having more fun and living an entrepreneurial lifestyle. You have to ask yourself, what is bringing me cash and what is the quickest path to the cash? From that, you can move into building out maybe midterm to long-term strategies. But I swear to God, man, I see guys all the time, Yannick, and you see it all the time. You go to a seminar, you talk to guys in the hallways. Hey, what are you working on, man? Oh, dude, you wouldn't believe what I'm working on. I got this cool thing. When's it coming out? Oh, probably about 60 days. What are you doing now? I'm just waiting for this thing to be done. Well, what the? I mean, seriously, bro, you have to be making some cash rain today and building new skill sets all the time. Otherwise, you're going to be left there. You know, that whole Harvey McKay, and I think it's a Taoist principle or something like that, like, you know, dig your well before you're thirsty thing. Your well is going to run dry, and your thought process and creativity is going to be stumped, you know. I know a couple guys that, and also I know a couple guys who just did the whole, like, you know, like burn the ships, and then they started on a journey. Well, I understand that too, but at the same time, when you have, if you got a job and you're making enough money to cover your nut, and then work overtime on the weekends, at night, building your internet business or taking it to the next level. For me, you know, I have the dental business and I have a couple other things I'm working on. I have to maintain the dental income and make sure that company's running well while I'm building out new things. If you stop one and then focus on the other, you're like, you know, the typical ADD internet marketer who never makes any money, who overspends and is wondering why he's all alone sitting at the bar, you know, with the bartender. Actually, by the way, that's not always a bad place to be, but you just, you know, you got to be there by choice, you know.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about what do you do to rejuvenate, re-energize yourself as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, rejuvenation, I'd probably been number one and two is, work out and get physical four to five times a week if I can.
And you do
right
the
now.
MMA stuff, right? Is that part of your workout, the four times a week?
Yeah, now I'm doing a little more Jeet Kune Do and the Filipino stuff. But, yeah, it's just martial arts. Yeah, I love all that stuff. That excites me. I love talking about it. I love learning it.
So the four times a week, that's set in your schedule. That's, you know, it's pretty much set in stone. And is it a fixed
pretty
time?
Solid, yeah. There's an old Brian Tracy has a phrase that says, hard time will push off soft time. So meaning, you know, like this appointment you and I had today was hard time. I made it, you know.
Right.
If you and I were like, hey, dude, let's just catch up on the phone, it'd be 4 weeks from now when we finally caught up, you know. It's the same thing with the when you go back to your value system questions, and this would be worth listening to again just because of the questions, you know, of answering some of those questions of, like, what's most important to you, and then scheduling that and making it, you know, like my thing is I usually take an hour and a half in the middle of the day at certain points where I go pick up the kids or go spend a little time with them. And so I'll work, you know, till 6, you know, because I take like 2:30 to 3:30 where I go pick up kids and hang out with them a little bit. But at 6 o'clock, I'm immediately hitting my hard time with my family. And so that needs to drop. But, you know, that's how I rejuvenate. With the kids, man, I'll tell you something. With four kids traveling on vacation, because I know some people be like, wow, this sounds... is not necessarily relaxing. But we in the summer, we do have a lake house, and the kids are getting a little bit older, so all that kind of stuff is getting easier. And, you know, just reading and learning is just relaxing to me, too.
Yeah, no, that's good. And, you know, one thing that you talked about earlier, and it's interesting, so I'm reading a book right now that I'm really enjoying. It's called Be Excellent at Anything. It's by this guy, Tony Schwartz. You probably heard of the Power of
Yeah, yeah,
engagement.
Totally.
And so, you know, it's some of the similar stuff in Powerful Engagement, but it's a little bit different. One of the big principles in there is called pulsing, where, you know, you have something where you're working really, really hard, and then you rejuvenate, re-energize, and then go back to working really, really hard. And, you know, your comments about, you know, at some points you have to be on balance really, really strike that, I think. It's like, you know, you go for it really hard, but then at the same time, then you cut back and you want to re-energize and just refuel for the next one. And
yeah, I've never met a world-class champion who is who did not do the... If you really look at it, because I was thinking about this, man, I was like, man, if you look at world-class athletes, they are so dysfunctionally in one way. Like, they're extraordinary in one way. And but here's something I want to tell everyone, too, or share with everybody. I also think you need a coach on how to rejuvenate, not necessarily how to rejuvenate, but how to live. I think it's good to read books on if you're going to be a parent, you know, read the books on how to talk to your kids and how to help guide your kids. And I think it's good to surround yourself with mentors who have cracked this code because, you know, I'm only 35. You know, there's a lot of guys a lot older than me and us that have that side figured out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's good to have mentors in every area and every phase of your life. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's tackle the last part a little bit. You know, the give more, the you know, giving forward, giving back. Some people call it different things. Just this this notion of giving. Is that a big part of your entrepreneurial endeavors? Is that a big part of your personal life? Is that part of your philosophy?
Yeah, it is, and you know, and I'll tell you the mistakes I made and the things that where it's kind of evolved to my current philosophy. There was a phase where anyone who asked, I said yes, and that gets old quick because it's not valued. You know, there's no real end result because you're scattered.
Well, almost back to your obligation too.
Yeah, it's just crap. Like, well, my brother's got money, so he'll be happy to sponsor. It's a tax write-off. It's like, well, yeah, why don't you give your $100 to tax write-off then? You know, I mean, like, that's just such a stupid mentality of, like, well, he runs a business, so it's a tax write-off. Yeah, so I'm still giving X amount of dollars now to get a 30%, you know, whatever. So see what I'm saying? Like, so you can't allow other people to dictate what you give back to. My belief at this point is, when you start learning marketing, your initial response is going to be to help people with their marketing. Do not do that unless you are so freaking passionate about it and you have total control over the whole thing. My experience with that is that you're going to be dealing with people that have no idea, and you're going to be trying to teach them everything Yannick taught you in like 30 minutes, and you're just going to end up frustrated. That's just my two cents, okay? And I might have just saved you a lot of time and effort trying to help people that will never understand. They'll think you're just don't do that. So what I do now is I have a couple charities that I specifically have more than so that I have, you know, a lot of I give money to, but more importantly, I have a relationship with them, and I have the ability of sharing my creativity to help them solve problems. And the thing that I'm passionate about is helping parents with kids with cancer. Mm. And there's another local foundation that is synergistic with it. They kind of work together. So that's kind of like my number one.
Is that from a
focus?
Personal story, or is it just something that...
No, just because, you know, I don't know what it is, man. I mean, anything with kids and
right.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I'll share the listener. What happened was, is every year what we do is we, for our Christmas party, I'll take the staff out shopping, and, you know, with our team, you know, we've had as many as 18 in-house here in Chicago. now I'm utilizing the philosophy of moving and leveraging things overseas as quickly as possible. But I take everybody shopping, and then what I do is say, hey, here's an extra $50 or $100. Go get, you know, they'd have an assignment, but for somebody, we'd sponsor families or whatever. And then last year I called up Children's Memorial Hospital here in Chicago, and I said, well, we want to sponsor the kids. And I got hooked up with them through my friend who lost a daughter with cancer. And what really surprised me was, and it blew me away, was that the lady said, we don't need anything for the kids, but if you guys can buy gift cards, and they gave me a list of stores for the parents, they're the ones who need the most amount of help. And so she explained to me that, a lot of these parents can't work, or they're on public aid or whatever the issues are, or they lost their job because they couldn't work and they can't even put food on their table. So that became our new, charity that we were sponsoring.
Right.
And I have future goals for it that I'm not going to share, but because I'm not doing it yet. But it'd be nice to find a way to have it be like a residual. I'm looking at a couple of the businesses I'm building to where we just earmark it into the entire business so that, you know, they get a check monthly and I don't have to think about it and stuff like that. So we'll see. It's not there yet, but that's kind of the vision.
Yeah, that's great. And then the creative input, I think that's interesting too. So, you know, it's not just about the money always, but it's about sharing what your expertise is and what one of your unique talents is. And how did that go over? How is that going over with the, you know, getting, is it like pulling teeth, convincing them to do some of the things that we know?
Well, that's
effective?
Still in. It's like, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, like, you know, I've tried working with some different, you know, or helping like in local, you know, the school board and stuff on different things, and that just doesn't really work out well. That's more of a slow process, but what it is more of a, tell me what problems the parents are facing, and let's go over some game plans on how we can solve it. Now, and I want to share this with everybody, because here's the thing. When you're looking at stuff like that, the people who are running a lot of these organizations are people making $35,000 a year, $40,000 a year, and they've had no other education than maybe being like social work, counseling, or you know, communications. And so for all of us, you know, a lot of times entrepreneurs have the unique ability of solving problems. Like, that's what we do. We just solve problems and we build value,
right.
And then that's how we get paid. And so to look at things from a totally different perspective. So I would say, again, that thing is kind of in the infancy as well. So I think that's a little bit slow. You know, it's really hard to come in somewhere and tell them that, you know, if they've been doing something for 20 years, how to do things differently.
Right. There's a right way and a wrong way, and approaching it from just being empathetic to their point of view and seeing it through their eyes a little bit is helpful.
Yeah. But I would say this, though, for everybody on the thing, because, you know, the greatest thing you can do for the entire world is to go and become impeccable and generate and make all your dreams happen and have if you're not at a place where you can really give back yet, in a bigger point, I mean, because there's bigger things I like to do that I'm not doing, I'm just not there yet, is just, you know, have the vision, have the goal, and then go build out your company or build out your marketing plan, build out your thing, make the money, and just like the wake of a boat, how it pulls forward, you know, everything else that you want to have happen will pull forward with it, but you got to get that engine rolling and get that cash machine rolling. That's got to be your number one focus. And I'd say this too, you know, with Yannick, because I know we're wrapping up here, but yeah, I mean, with Yannick and the guys he introduces you to, I would really recommend unsubscribing to like 90% of the crap that you get in your email, and stop buying crap that is promising to you, like, you know, buy the software, download it, get 7 million backlinks to your domain, and become a gajillionaire. It works for some people, but they've also figured crap out that, you know, they're doing like 10 other things simultaneously with that, and that's the game they're playing. And none of those guys have been in internet marketing a few years. You know, the guys that know how to figure all that crap out, they're way smarter than me. So I'll let them do that crap, and I'll do things a little more strategical, a little more long term. But
yeah,
you know, it's all good.
That's great. That's probably a good spot to wrap up. You got any last thoughts on what we talked about, or anything has kind of triggered any other thoughts?
No, man. I mean, if they're listening to you, they're in the right place. I appreciate you letting me be a part of it. I would just say, you know, every time you try to bump up the ladder of wherever you're trying to be. So if you're making, just say, I'm just gonna like say you're making $40,000 a year or $300,000 a year. The only way to get to the next level is to surround yourself with people who are already there. I have a philosophy on this. Right? I really do. This is a sincere philosophy. Is that when I ask advice from somebody who I've identified as my model or my mentor, and I get it, whether I like it or not, I do it. Mm-hmm. And because they'll never, you'll never get a piece of advice from them ever again unless you do it. And the best way to enter a group like that and to get, like, inner circle secrets, besides paying to be in them, but I'm talking about true, like, hey, let me show you behind the curtain, is to be someone who executes at a very fast level and is verbatim with their advice. And when they see that, I mean, I have guys that are older than me and much younger than me that when they tell me something and I go do it, I'm like, all right, I'm ready for the next portion. You get it. And that's how you earn your way into that rankings and into that group. And so, you know, I'd say
that's awesome advice. No, that's great. And I like,
thanks.
You know, whether you like it or not, if that's advice, go try it. And that's the biggest currency that you can get to keep that relationship open, because the people that you're asking in a mentor capacity, they're obviously extremely busy and they don't have time to really waste with people that are simply going to listen to what they have to say but not do anything.
Yeah, totally, bro. Totally.
And that's great. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, so I know you got a lot of different things going on. Is there any site or place that we should send people to?
You know, just go to edokeefe.com. I have really nothing up there. You'll see some stuff about me. I'll probably get an opt-in box up there and let people, like, I don't know, I thought about it yesterday. I'm like, maybe I'll just do it behind the scenes of that and, you know, let people see what I'm working on and what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of crazy, not crazy stuff, really cool stuff, learning a lot of stuff. And I have two, and this is really important to understand, too. I have two guys I'm working with, Yannick, that are strategic partners that I met through Maverick.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, in a short amount of time, that are just really killer guys, and I'm learning a lot, and, you know, excited about life, you know, things are great, kids are great, I always wrap up with people, just you gotta go out there and take massive action, fail on your face, and that's just so much wealth equity that 99.999% of the people are not going to do. And the last thing I'd say is always be fair to people. And if even like I've spent more money in the last year cleaning up other people's problems that either A, were affiliated through one of my companies or were joint venture partners, and I didn't go back to the JV guy. I just paid the customer and said and then I just ate it and moved on. It's a much higher level energy of life. If you're not studying anything about energy and about raising your awareness and stuff like that, I'd say jump on that as well. It's one commonality I see with all the high-level entrepreneurs. So
I mean, you know, right? Just in there is a tiny. It's a tiny thing. It's a great lesson. It's like, you know, and I do the exact same thing. If I have a joint venture that unravels and the partner isn't willing to, let's say, refund person after, you know, they technically had the refund period, then I'm like, you know, whatever. I'm eating it and I'm refunding them because they're my customer and it's my responsibility.
Yeah.
And some people would be like, well, technically it's not this, and you know, you can't get your money back. And
yeah,
it's once again long term versus short term thinking, and that's great. All right, awesome. So edokeefe.com, it's edokeefe.com.
Yeah, correct.
And so people can check out what your latest adventures are, what you're up to. Maybe you'll put an opt-in box there at some point. People in behind the scenes, and look forward to seeing you real soon.
Yeah, or hit me up on Facebook and let me know. If you have any questions, you can hit me up on Facebook. I'd be happy to answer the simple question. But
nice.
All right, bro. Yeah, thanks, Yannick. Appreciate being on, man. You're the best.
All right. Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.